You are listening now to The More Abundant Life. This is a radio broadcast which features inspiring messages and presentations by Pastor Whitley Phipps. I want to welcome you today. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. I'm your host for today's program, your host for The More Abundant Life, and I'm glad you've joined us today. We are going to hear Pastor Phipps speak on the topic, The Spirit of Caleb. It's a long message, so we're going to skip our usual music, and we're going to get right to the message today. Here now is Pastor Phipps as he speaks on the topic, The Spirit of Caleb. We'll come back and share some things with you after today's message.
You have your Bibles with you. Turn with me to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, chapter 14. This scripture comes from a time when the children of Israel had camped in the wilderness of Paran. The Lord said to Moses, "Choose one man from each tribe. They are to spy out the land of Canaan. They are to bring back a report on its soil, whether barren or fertile. They are to tell whether the inhabitants are many or few." And in the book of Numbers, chapter 13, it tells us that for 40 days, those 12 spies searched out the land of Canaan. They returned with a bounty fit for a king, large grapes, so large that it took two men to carry their clusters. Oh, I just wish I could taste some of those grapes. That is my weakness, by the way. Fruit, pomegranates. My mouth is watering even now as I'm telling you. Delicious and delectable. Upon their return, they said to the children of Israel, the 12th spy said to them, "This land we go to inherit is rich and fertile. It is a land of abundance, plenty. But in this land," they said, 10 of the 12 spies said, "we saw a race of giants. When we were near them, we felt like grasshoppers in their sight. Their warriors are fierce. Their city walls are high. We must tell you that we do not believe that we are able to go up against these people. Our recommendation is that we find a way to cut our losses, head back to Egypt, cut a deal with Pharaoh. Because let's get real, people. We saw giants. They were descendants of Anak." The Bible tells us, and if you have your Bible, turn with me there to Numbers 14. In our text there, Numbers 14. The Bible tells us after the children of Israel heard this report, they were so terrified, so discouraged, that they lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept all night. And in verse 2, the next morning, they went to see Moses. Look at 14, verse 2. And they said to Moses, "We told you so. If only we had stayed in Egypt, we could have died there. Moses, you are no longer responsive to the will of the people. We will choose another leader to take us back to Egypt." Have mercy. Are you reading that? Verse 4, they said one to another, "Let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt. Slaves ready to go back to their slave master." What an experience that must have been. And church, when it appeared that Moses was about to receive a vote of no confidence from the very people he had brought through the Red Sea. Now, you know, if ever a leader brings you through the ocean with the power of God, you stay with that leader. Amen. Just when Moses was about to receive that vote of no confidence, Caleb spoke up. Hallelujah. Wait a minute, said Caleb. What kind of people are you anyway? God has promised us this land as our inheritance, and we can trust him implicitly. I say, let us go up at once. Let's go now, take the land. We were spies too, Joshua and Caleb, and we are filing a dissenting report. Are you with me today? This land we saw is an excellent land, and with the help of God, we can possess it. Well, church, all the congregation, look at verse 10. After that great speech, look at what the people of God said. All the congregation said, stone them with stones. Have mercy, Lord. And just when they said, stone them, you know, my God is awesome. I said, are you with me today? My God is awesome. Just when they said, stone him, right at that very moment, the Shekinah glory of the Lord appeared above the sanctuary. Hallelujah. Look at it, verse 10. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord spake unto Moses, and he said, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me? In other words, what kind of, I brought them through the Red Sea, I delivered them from Pharaoh, and they don't believe me. They don't believe me. After all I've done for these people, they can't trust me. Woo. And as punishment for their sin, look at verse 12. God said, I will smite them with the pestilence. Have mercy, the Lord's serious. So when that tells me you better trust God. When he says he's going to do something, trust him. When he says he's going to deliver you, believe him. If you walk around not believing God, you may end up in a situation where God will have to chastise you. Oh, are you with me there? So believe him. When he said he can do it, he can do it. And God says, I will smite them, verse 12, with the pestilence. What else will I do? I will disinherit them. Have mercy. I will write them out of my will. Disinherit them and will make of thee a greater nation, mightier than they. Have mercy. And look at verse 13. Moses got forward with the Lord. Moses used to talk to the Lord in a way, brothers and sisters, I don't know how he got away with it. Are you with me today? He said, Moses said, Lord, no, Lord, don't do this. What? I am God and you're telling me, don't do this? No. And look what Moses said. No, Lord, if you do this, the Egyptians will hear about it and say you're a God of death and not a God of freedom. And the news, look at verse 14, will spread to other nations. They've already heard about your goodness. And look at verse 15. Moses is working on the Lord now. He said, now, Lord, if you shall kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard your fame will speak, saying, the Lord their God was not able to bring them into the land. That's why he killed them. Huh? Are you with me today? Those people will say, you couldn't do it, Lord. That's why you killed them. And the Lord said, okay, Moses, I'll forgive them as you ask. In verse 21, but not one of these complaining people will enter the land of Canaan. Not one of them will enter the land of promise. Not one who accused me of deceiving them will ever see the promised land. And for 40 years they will wander in the wilderness. 1 year for each day the spies searched out the land of Canaan. And because my people would not trust my leadership, they will all die out in the wilderness. Did you know that's why those people died in the wilderness? Because they couldn't believe the Lord. Couldn't trust him. And then God, in our text, in verse 24, says something remarkable. He says, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit, because he had another spirit with him, he had a different spirit in him. And that followed me fully. He followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Caleb, because like Joshua, he had a different spirit, I will allow Caleb and Joshua to inherit the land. All because he had a different spirit with him. And verse 14, chapter 14, verse 25 tells us the descendants that will inherit the valleys of the Amalekites and Canaanites, because they had a different spirit, God said, they will conquer the land of the giants. All because he had a different spirit. Brothers and sisters, can you imagine, of all the men and women who left Egypt, only two lived to see the promised land. I got down on my knees before God and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, whatever that spirit was in Caleb, I want that spirit for the new year. Whatever that different spirit that caused him to follow you fully, give me that spirit. I want it for my life. That spirit that separated Caleb and Joshua from the rest of the people. I want it. Church, God is telling us that those who make it into the promised land will have a different spirit. And I want that spirit for my life. Whatever it was God saw in Caleb, I want him to see it in me. The spirit of Caleb. What was that spirit? It was a spirit of optimism. When everybody else said, no, we can't do it, Caleb said, wait a minute, we can do it. It was a spirit of obedience. It was a spirit of gratitude to God. It was a spirit of humility. It was a spirit of duty. It was a spirit of complete trust. And to me, nothing more captures that spirit, and I'll read about that later on, but come with me. All these years the Lord has blessed us. Today I'm asking him for a different spirit. Amen. Huh? Brothers and sisters, I want to come to a time when that Lord, the Lord of heaven, sees in me what he saw in Caleb. Mm-hmm. Throughout the Bible, God's word makes it clear that we can be filled and controlled by different spirits. I'm not talking about demons here. I'm talking about attitudes. Are you with me today? God describes the attitude you have as a spirit in you. So when people got a mean attitude, they got a mean spirit. Yeah. Are you with me today? God, come with me. Look at Numbers 5:30. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Numbers 5, verse 30. It says there, or when, come on, read it with me. Or when, Numbers 5, say, Pastor, we're not there yet. All right, I'm going to wait for you. Catch up, amen. You got it? Numbers 5? Okay, read it with me. Or when the spirit of jealousy cometh upon him. Wait a minute. Have you noticed when people, when you are being blessed and people start to hate you? That's because they're being filled with the spirit of jealousy. You see, are you with me today? The spirit of jealousy. There's a spirit of jealousy. Isaiah 11:2 says the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And the Bible describes wisdom as a spirit. You know, some people have a spirit of wisdom in them. You know, that's the kind of, have you noticed when you're in trouble and you want to just talk to somebody you feel confident will give you wisdom, you turn to that person. Amen. You pick up the phone and you call that person because you feel that person has a spirit of wisdom. Spirit of counsel, the Bible calls it. Spirit of knowledge. Ephesians 1:17 tells you that wisdom is a spirit. Look at it. If you have your Bibles, turn. We're going to turn to some text today. Is that all right? Share with your Bible with the person next to you. Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And if you have your Bibles, turn again over to Isaiah 61, the book of Isaiah. Oh, you're getting biblical calisthenics today. Amen. Flip over Isaiah 61, verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. There's a spirit of discouragement. There are some people, help me Jesus, when you got an idea, do not call them. They've got a spirit of discouragement. They've got a spirit of heaviness. Got a spirit of depression. You know what I'm talking about. And then Hosea chapter 5 verse 4 talks about the spirit. Come on. Let's turn to it. Let's turn to it. Amen. Hosea chapter 5 verse 4. Come on. Turn with me there. Hosea chapter 5 verse 4. Pastor, you're testing my Bible knowledge today of where the books are. Amen. Chapter 5, verse 4, Hosea. They will not frame their doings to turn unto their God, for the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. In other words, God here is telling you that running after bad habits and after worldliness, that's a spirit. Some people are filled with the spirit of worldliness. And I'm going to give you a couple texts. This time, write them down if you have a pen. Romans 11:8 talks about the spirit of slumber. People who have eyes and can't see. People who have ears, the Bible says, can't hear. Come on now. Somebody's turning to it anyway. Romans 11 verse 8. You know, you ever talk to a young person and they hear you, but they don't hear you. They see with their eyes, but they don't see because they have a spirit of slumber. Have mercy, Lord. 1 Corinthians 4:21 says that meekness is a spirit. And then look at last one, 2 Corinthians. I think it's the last one. Chapter 4, verse 13. Look at 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. We having the same spirit of faith. Some people have the spirit of faith. Lord, give us the spirit of faith and not the spirit of fear. The Bible talks about error being a spirit. Well, when God said Caleb had a different spirit, remember what God said? He is the kind of spirit that follows after me. Hallelujah. Well, church, nothing more aptly captures the spirit of Caleb than when, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, Caleb went before Joshua and said, and the leaders in Israel, and they were giving out the land. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Joshua. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Chapter 14. I'm going to show you Caleb's spirit. Say, you want to know what the spirit of Caleb was? Amen. I want you to turn with me to the book of Joshua. What book did I say? Chapter 14. That's just before Judges. Amen. And look at verse 11. The book of Joshua, chapter 14, verse 11. And look at the spirit of Caleb. Caleb said, now look at verse 10. And behold, the Lord had kept me alive, said Caleb, these 45 years. That's 45 years of wandering. You know what I mean? Follow me. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, I've been alive 45 years. I was alive while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day, how old? 85 years old. That means I'm 85. And look at what he says, the spirit of Caleb. Yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, have mercy. You listening to me? This 85-year-old man says, I'm as strong as I was when I was 40. Amen. Amen. Even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, said Caleb, give me this mountain. What was he talking about? You see, Caleb was praying when he went to spy out the land. Have mercy, Jesus. He wanted Hebron. Hebron was the home of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Hebron was the place where Caleb's forefathers were buried. Hebron was the place now where the giants that they saw, are you with me? Hebron was the place where the giants that they saw when they spied out the land were now living. So this 85-year-old man said, I'm not scared of no giants. Give me the mountain where the giants live. Hebron was the home of the descendants. And of all the places Caleb could have chosen to settle, Caleb said, you all can settle wherever you want to. I'm going to live where the giants are now living. I'm going to chase them out. And I'm going to inhabit the place where the giants live. That was the kind of spirit that was in Caleb. Give me the mountain where the giants live. Now, Caleb was not cocky. He was confident. Hallelujah. Caleb was not pompous. He was positive. Caleb was not overconfident. Caleb was hopeful. He was joyful. He wasn't lifted up. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, Caleb knew that God can do anything. Amen.
I don't care what bad hand life has dealt you. If you have a different spirit, like Caleb, you can move mountains. In 1874, a congregation saw a really nice plot of land and they wanted to build their church on it. But try as they might, they weren't allowed to purchase the land. Their offer was turned down by the owner of the land as being inadequate, not enough. That disappointed church built their structure on another piece of land that was on an alternate site, not far from the original spot that they wanted. But often, the elders of the church and the members would look longingly upon that beautiful location that they wanted. 2 years after the church went up, 1876, a terrible storm struck the countryside. Huge, pelting rain, raging wind, roaring river. And brothers and sisters, during the night, the church they prayed for was literally, true story, lifted up by the water and the wind, and like a scrap of paper, it was carried 300 feet right to the spot that they had originally prayed. True story. It wasn't a straight path, but they got there. Amen. Wind and rain, but they got there. It was 2 years behind, but they got there. My God is awesome. So no matter what's in your head, no matter what dreams in your brain, no matter what hope is in your spirit, no matter what's in your heart, God, if you have a different spirit, He will move your mountain. But you gotta believe.
Well, that concludes our message for today. I hope that you've been blessed by it. It was an interesting presentation, I thought, and I learned a lot of things from this particular message, the Spirit of Caleb. If you would like to obtain an audio copy of today's message, here's how you can do that. Please call the Seabrook Church, and the phone number there is 301-577-6342. You want to ask today for program number 352, and that will allow everybody to reference the program so that you can get what you've asked for, the right program that you've asked for. Program number 352. The Seabrook Church phone number again, 301-577-6342. You may also email a request to seabrookav@yahoo.com. Well, I'm glad you joined us today. I'm glad that you heard the message. I'm sorry we're going to have to end this program now, but until you can join us again, I want you to have a good week. And remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10. Until we come back, that's where Jesus said, "I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life."
Give what's in your heart.